The first reading is from the beginning of the fourth chapter of Acts of the Apostles. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from 1 John in the third chapter. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. John. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The first reading today from Acts chapter 4 is part of a story that is outside of the story about the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, the longest story in the book of Acts. It starts at chapter 3, verse 1, and goes through almost the end of chapter 4. And because this is the second longest story recorded in the book of Acts, I think the author wanted us to pay attention to it. It was important to the early Christian community, and it's important to us today. And I know this is Good Shepherd Sunday, but this story from the gospel, from the book of Acts, is such a compelling story. And that's why I chose it for my message this morning. It tells us what it meant for those early disciples, Peter and John, and I presume the rest of the early followers of Jesus. What it meant for them to live in the power of Jesus' name. And that's what I want to lift up for us today as well. What does it mean for us to live like those early disciples? What does it mean for us to live in the power of Jesus' name? Just a brief point of clarification. We will not celebrate the festival of Pentecost until the 19th of May, so we're still a few Sundays away. But this story from Acts chapter 3 and then our text for today, chapter 4, occurs after Pentecost. So it's sometimes a little confusing. If they would have asked my opinion, they would have taken the readings that happened after Pentecost and put them after the festival of Pentecost that we celebrate. But they didn't ask for my opinion. This story begins with a healing miracle that Peter and John perform in the temple that occurs at the beginning of chapter 3. And you know, those early Christians living in Jerusalem, Jewish in background, still went on a regular basis to the temple to pray. Only their orientation was different now towards Jesus of Nazareth, their risen Lord and Christ. And on this particular day, when Peter and John are going into the temple, there is a lame man who has been carried and placed at one of the entrances to the temple. And he's begging for alms. And Peter has what is one of the greatest statements in the New Testament in response to this man's request for alms. You know, Peter said some unfortunate things during his life, like denying that he knew Jesus three times. But on this occasion, when this lame man who had been lame since birth asks for alms, Peter replies, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk." And he helps the man get up, and the man starts walking around, and as the book of Acts reports, jumping and praising God. And you could well imagine that since this occurred in the temple, it attracted quite a bit of a crowd. So people are gathering. They want to see what this commotion is all about. And then we have the rest of the story that's picked up in our first reading for today from Acts chapter 4. In the midst of all of this commotion, some of the religious leaders were greatly annoyed by these proceedings. That's quite an understatement. They were deeply troubled. They were very ticked off. They were in a foul mood because of what they saw transpiring. For not only were Peter and John proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, but they were telling the listeners, the people that had gathered to hear them right there in the temple, that they could have a share in the resurrection of the dead through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, these religious leaders have Peter and John then thrown in jail. And the reason why I think this was so important to the author of the book of Acts, who was St. Luke, the evangelist, is because this records the beginning of the opposition and the hostility to those early Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. So the opposition that they had directed towards Jesus was now directed towards the followers of Jesus. Living in the power of Jesus' name brought for those early followers of Jesus Christ opposition and hostility. And this would continue for several hundred years. It wasn't until the Emperor Constantine, somewhere around the year 312 AD, when he made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, that the persecution and opposition to Christians stopped. So this opposition and hostility to those early Christians didn't just come from the Jews. It came from Gentiles as well. And we know this is a fact, that those early Christians endured a lot of opposition for their faith, even as some Christians still endure around the world today. When Constantine made Christianity the dominant religion of the Roman Empire, Christianity became part of the dominant culture. And I think we could say that for quite a while, Christianity was part of the dominant culture of the United States. Wouldn't you say that was true? But I don't think we can say that anymore. I don't think that we can say Christianity is still a part of our dominant culture. We may not experience the persecution that some Christians do in other places of the world. And there are some people who say that since this persecution and opposition and hostility towards Christians has ended, that Christianity has lost something of its vitality. Even though we may not be met with open hostility and open opposition, we still experience ridicule, being made fun of, or, as is the case more often than not, indifference. I don't know which would be worse. But it brings to mind an old saying that if we were put on trial as Christians, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Well, the fact that the religious leaders put Peter and John in jail, and we have this rather ominous-sounding note that since it was evening, they were put in jail for overnight, which meant that, you see, any trial that might have involved life and death had to be started and concluded in the same day. So there was a possibility, I suppose, in the minds of Peter and John that night in jail could have been their last night. That the same fate that their Lord and Master experienced might be theirs as well. We don't know how Peter and John spent that night in jail, but we do have a clue that comes later on in the book of Acts of how they might have spent that night, because in chapter 12 of Acts we're told about a second imprisonment that Peter endures that occurs at the same time as his good friend and fellow disciple James is beheaded by King Herod. And right after James is beheaded, Peter is put in jail, and he's chained between two soldiers, one on either side of him. And you know how Peter spent the night? He went to sleep. I don't know that if I would have been able to have gone to sleep, knowing that that night might be my last night. And so in this story that we have from Acts chapter 4, I imagine that Peter and John, even though they were facing a great uncertainty, also simply went to sleep. I don't know about you, but I have sleepless nights. And not just because of having aches and pains, but sometimes I allow myself to get so stirred up inside about something that really isn't all that important after all. Or sometimes I allow anxiety, worry about something to keep me awake at night. So I think about Peter and John there in prison, possibly thinking that this might be their last night in this life, being able to go to sleep. And I think that's one of the things that living in the power of Jesus' name means, is that we have the peace that passes all understanding. Perhaps Peter and John thought of a scripture passage from Psalm chapter 4, verse 8 that says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Or perhaps they thought about how Jesus was their good shepherd, and no matter what happens, it's all good, because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has promised to take care of us through everything. And maybe they said the psalm that we associate with Good Shepherd Sunday, the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Maybe Peter and John recalled that psalm and they prayed it. I remember a prayer from when I was a little child, and maybe it was taught to you as well. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And then my mom taught me to conclude the prayer by saying, "This I ask for Jesus' sake. Amen." I think when we are able to live completely in the power of the name of Jesus, we wouldn't have any sleepless nights, aside from the aches and pains that we experience as we get older, or allergies. Sometimes I know my faith is so small because I forget about what it means to live in the power of Jesus' name. Well, back to the story. The next day, the religious leaders bring Peter and John out of prison. And there's an interesting comment that is made in verse 7 of our reading for today. They had Peter and John brought and put before them in their midst. Do you know what that would mean, to be put in their midst? They were surrounded by their opponents. I guess the religious leaders thought, well, we may not be able to kill them, we may not be able to keep them in prison forever, but at least we can intimidate them. We can scare them. And maybe they will quit. Maybe they will shut up about this Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter spoke up. They were not intimidated. They didn't back down. They didn't cower. Peter spoke up and said, the crippled man that they had healed by the power of the name of Jesus. I am in awe of Peter and John, because it was just a few months earlier that they were hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews on that first Easter Sunday. But now they are proclaiming their faith openly and boldly. How can we explain how they went from those cowardly individuals to these bold witnesses? I think it was because they had received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday. And I think it was because they realized that during their lives they had messed up so many times very badly, especially Peter with his denying Jesus three times. But then they had experienced the forgiving power of their risen Lord. Their brokenness had been healed. And they were motivated by love to testify to what Peter says in verse 20, that they had seen and heard the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what a witness is. Someone who simply tells what he or she has seen and heard. We are challenged to be witnesses in the same way as Peter and John were. We are challenged to be bold witnesses to our faith just like they were. It's relatively easy for us to confess our faith here together as Christians, and that is a blessed thing for us to be able to do and enjoy every Sunday. But it's different out there, where we may not be met with the same sense of affirmation that we are here. And I know that most of the time we are not going to be met with open hostility or opposition. But nevertheless, it's a challenge to testify to our faith out there. And so we need to ask today and every day that God would equip us to be bold witnesses of our faith in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. He equips us by giving us the Holy Spirit. He strengthens us in our faith through the Word and sacrament. And so when we live in the power of Jesus' name, sometimes we can expect not to receive affirmation, but rather opposition or indifference. When we live in the power of Jesus' name, we know that we have the peace that passes all understanding, no matter what happens. And when we live in the power of Jesus' name, we are equipped to be bold witnesses for Him. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.